ago. This is the final lesson in this series. And this morning we're going to be talking about verse 18, where Paul in that one verse talks about all prayer, okay? And he uses the word all four times in that one verse, okay? And so we're going to be looking at what is Paul talking about when he mentions he's focusing on all prayer here, okay? So just a kind of a final look at where we've been and what we've been focusing on in this study from the beginning. We started out talking about the fact that war is hell, all right? And we've been looking at the relationship between war and hell. That is spiritual warfare and hell, eternal hell, okay? The fact that there is a war, it's a spiritual war, it is going on right now, it is around us, and it involves every single one of us. It is a universal war, a universe war. In other words, every being in the universe is involved in this war. And as I've been saying all along, it is not a war where anybody can claim neutrality. Nobody can sit on the sidelines and say, I'm not a part of this war, I'm not participating. You are participating, and if you take that approach to it, then you've lost already. Okay? You need to understand that. We also have been saying all along, and we'll talk more about this as we go through this last lesson, that we are all in it, but it is individually won or lost. Now, we can all help one another, but nobody can win or lose this war for anybody else. Right? Now, winning or losing really, truly is all about heaven or hell. In other words, whether you win or lose this war depends, or determines rather, where you spend eternity. Okay? Most people will lose this war because they don't even know they're in a war. Those who deny the Lord, those who deny that they need the Lord, those who just are saying, no, it's not true, they've lost already. And that is the majority of people in the world. Our study on spiritual warfare has carried us through several different aspects. We began by making sure that we understand the nature of spiritual warfare, that it is not a conventional physical war. We're not fighting against someone using bombs and bullets and all of those kinds of things. It is spiritual in nature, and thus the enemy, we talked about identifying and making sure we remember who the enemy really is. Paul says our fight is not against flesh and blood. So we have got to understand that if we're fighting with people, then we're fighting the wrong enemy. Okay? And unfortunately, I think in this, all this stuff that we have going on, this division we have going on in the country, people are fighting one another. We're fighting the wrong war. You say, we're fighting the wrong war. We're fighting the wrong enemy. And Satan sits back and he watches this stuff going on. He instigates this kind of stuff going on, racial division and other division. He instigates that kind of stuff and sits back and watches us tear each other apart, knowing that we're not spending our time fighting together against him, but instead we're fighting against one another. And it's the wrong enemy. We spent the majority of our time after that talking about the individual pieces of armor that God has provided for us to help us to be victorious in spiritual warfare. This morning we're talking about the final part of this armor, and that is prayer. Okay, as I mentioned to you, that Paul in this verse alone uses the word all four different times. Let's look at what he has to say. He begins by saying, talking about praying at all times. Now, when we talk about warfare, whether you're talking about conventional warfare, and I think it certainly applies to spiritual warfare, probably most of you have heard the saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. Okay? When people get into battle, all of a sudden, most people will start praying to God, okay? God, get me through this, okay? And you know, one of the great realities of our soldiers as they go into battle, we see this over and over again, they pray together. Okay? When soldiers go into battle, they pray. Right? When Christians go to battle, we likewise need to pray. We've been talking about this armor that God has provided for us, but I want you to look at something that Albert Barnes, in his commentary on this particular passage, writes about the significance of prayer. He says, no matter how complete the armor, no matter how skilled we may be in the science of war, no matter how courageous we may be certain that without prayer, we shall be defeated. We need to understand the significance of the power of prayer for us to be victorious in spiritual warfare. We can put on all the other pieces of armor, but if we leave prayer out, then basically what we're doing is we are relying on ourselves. We need to remember the power of prayer and be praying at all times. And he says, at all times in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Okay, well, I think there's two main things here. First of all, I think it refers to be in the right spirit of heart and mind. Okay? In other words, if all you're doing is saying words, okay, in vain repetitions, or you're just spouting out words, then that's not in the right spirit and the right mind. Okay, you may as well not be saying anything. God wants to, as the song that we sang a few moments ago says, listen to our hearts. Okay? The prayer's got to come from our heart as we offer it to God. Let me ask you this question and really think about this. When it comes to the time, all times, is there any time when prayer should be excluded from our lives? Okay. Can you think of any event, any opportunity, anything going on in your life, any time when prayer should be excluded? Okay. So Paul starts out in this talking about praying at all times in the Spirit. Make prayer a part of every aspect of our lives. Okay? The second part of praying in the Spirit refers to, I think, what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, where he says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches the hearts, there it is again, heart and mind, okay, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So we need to be praying in the Spirit in the sense of allowing the Spirit to speak for us. Have you ever had those times when whatever was going on in your life, when you felt, you know, I got to go before God, but I don't know how. I don't know what to say. Know and be assured that the Spirit knows what's on your heart and your mind. And He knows how to take that before the Father. Okay? Paul writes also in Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Okay? How many situations does that exclude?
None.
None at all. Every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Okay? So pray at all times, he tells us. The second thing that he talks about is all prayer and supplication. Well, you know, again, what is that really referring to? Well, you know, there are a whole lot of types of prayer, various prayers that we can offer to God, okay? So, in other words, probably the one that we think of the most and one that we use the most is when we sit down for a meal and we give thanks to God for our food, right? Okay? But there's also that congregational or family prayer that we do together as we gather together and worship God. That's prayer with and for one another. And then there's that prayer that we have by ourselves in the war room, in the prayer closet, if you will. Individual prayer where we just go and pour our hearts out before God. Now, if you don't necessarily have a war room and in a special room in your house, you know that it's also okay to pray in your car, okay? Just don't close your eyes while you're driving and praying, okay? All right, that would not be a good thing, but you know, you can pray in your car. Okay, I find myself oftentimes doing that as I'm going to visit somebody here or there to talk to someone, and I just oftentimes will say a short prayer and ask God to guide me as I talk with this person, as I visit this person, or whatever the situation is. We that's prayer. Okay? How about small group prayer? Just, you know, whether you're at a home Bible study or a small group of folks around here or wherever it is, you have a few people together that are praying with and for one another. Okay? Have you ever heard of the acts of prayer? Okay? Different kinds of prayer. In other words, there is adoration, where we pray, just basically praising God for who He is. Okay? There is confession, where we pray to God confessing our sin before Him. There are prayers of thanksgiving. And where, you know, oftentimes we pray asking God for stuff, okay? We need to be praying and thanking God for what He does in our lives. And then there are prayers of supplication for ourselves, but primarily praying on behalf of other people, okay? For the things that they need in their life, whether it's health issues or guidance or whatever it is, that we lift people up in prayer before God. And that's one of the primary reasons why we have an invitation at the end of every worship service, that we are able to entertain prayer requests and offer prayers on behalf of other people or supplications. So Paul talks about all prayers and supplications, no matter what kind it is and what the purpose of it is, that we lift those prayers up before God, not only on our own behalf, but on behalf of one another. The next thing that he talks about is all perseverance. Okay? All perseverance. In other words, not being discouraged or disheartened, not giving up. Whatever the circumstance is, whatever the situation that we may be facing, and sometimes those circumstances are long-term, aren't they? We have a lot of people in our church family here who have health issues, for instance, that have been going on for years. And there's doesn't appear to be any relief in terms of curing whatever the medical, physical situation is. They continue enduring that. And so there's a necessity for us to persevere in prayer for ourselves and for one another in those kinds of circumstances and situations. Don't give up. Okay? The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians told the church there, pray without ceasing. Okay? Don't stop praying. So often people get discouraged the longer that something goes on. They say, well, it's not doing any good. God's not listening. He's not paying attention. He doesn't care. What are all of those kinds of things that we hear? We've talked about them before. They are lies that Satan tells us. You see? In Luke chapter 18, Luke records for us this statement beginning in verse 1. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And from there, he went on to tell the parable of the persistent widow. The widow who went before the judge, who really didn't care about her, didn't want to hear her story, but she kept on going to him. Until finally, she wore him down, okay? And God is just telling us, yeah, I want to hear from you. Don't give up. Just because it seems like maybe God isn't listening or he's not answering your prayer doesn't mean that he's not working it out in one way or another. But remember, God will not always work things out according to the way we want them to, but he will always work them out according to his will for our lives. So sometimes what seems to be that God isn't listening, he's not answering our prayer, it's not that he's not answering it. It may be he's just not answering it the way you want him to do. Okay? But don't give up. All perseverance, Paul talks about. And then the last part of this is, the last all is for all the saints. Okay? Now, one of the things that we realize about warfare is, and soldiers go into battle, that they oftentimes, what they're going into battle and they're fighting for each other. In other words, and this, those of you who are old enough to remember going through the Vietnam War, this really played out big time in that we had soldiers who were there fighting because they were drafted and they were made to go and fight, but they were not fighting for the cause. Many of them didn't agree with the cause. They didn't like the cause, but they were there because they had to be. But they will tell you that though they weren't there fighting for the cause, they were fighting for one another. Okay? And that's what soldiers do. They may not agree with the cause, but they are going to stand together and fight for their brothers and sisters soldiers. Okay? They're going to fight for each other, even if they don't agree with the cause. As Christians, you and I need to understand the importance of fighting for one another. Hopefully, we all agree with the cause, okay? Hopefully, we all agree with the cause. And with that, we need to be fighting with each other. That means we need to be praying for each other continually, okay? As I've mentioned all along through this study, as we've been saying, that the war is individually won or lost, but it is not individually fought. We need to remember how important it is that we are in this together. And again, as I have said, nobody can win or lose this war for anybody else, but we certainly can fight for one another. And the best way that we do that is through prayer. That we are praying with and for one another. That we will be victorious. Look at what Paul wrote to the Hebrews. He says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Okay, so that's the goal. Make sure that you don't have a sinful, unbelieving heart. All right? But how do we do that? Look at the next verse. "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." So he's addressing the very issue of spiritual warfare. And how do we prevent the whole problem of people just giving up and being hardened by sin and its deceitfulness? By encouraging each other. By fighting for each other. in the midst of spiritual warfare. Okay, let's have it in a different order. In chapter 10 and verse 25, he says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but what? Let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So, you know, again, part of the reason why we gather together to worship God is so that we can encourage one another. And oftentimes people say, well, why do we have to go to church? Well, because we need to be encouraging one another. We come together not just to worship God. That's the primary reason that we gather together, is to worship the Lord. But in that process, we're also here to encourage one another. And to do that, all the more as we see the day approaching. Okay? So don't give up meeting together. And I personally am looking forward. And I know that under the circumstances that we're in, we have a lot of people that physically are not able to worship with us here, but they are worshiping with us. I'm looking forward to the day that we can all be back together again physically. See? And we find that great encouragement from one another. But notice and understand, as he talks about the day approaching, we see that day approaching. Okay? Well, over in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says this, therefore encourage one another with these words. And then in chapter 5 and verse 11, he says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. Now, do you know what the context is in 1 Thessalonians that Paul has written those statements in? And what the writer of Hebrews was referring to in chapter 10 and verse 25? Referring to the second coming of Christ, the day when the Lord comes back again. That's what 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5 are really all about, where he's giving us a picture of what it's going to be like when Christ comes back again. And in looking at that picture, he's telling us to encourage each other with those words, to encourage each other with the knowledge that the Lord is coming back again, so that we don't give up. Because when the Lord comes back again, then what happens? The victory is given to all those who belong to Him. The war's over. See? And then from there, we get to enjoy the glory of the victory in Christ Jesus. So don't give up. Okay? In Luke chapter 21, verse 36, Jesus talking about the end times, okay, the same time period when he's going to be coming back, he says, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Okay? What a glorious day that will be. And in the meantime, we need to be prayer warriors. We need to be praying with and for each other. Okay? At all times, in the Spirit. Okay? With all kinds of prayers and supplications. All right? In all perseverance. So the challenge for you this morning is to be a prayer warrior. Right? As we've been saying and concluding with this series all along, we really are truly in the fight for our lives. And we have got to resist and overcome and defeat the enemy. Now, one last thing as we finish this up, a word of great encouragement. Okay? How do we defeat and overcome the enemy in this spiritual warfare? Remember this one vitally important thing. When Satan is trying to discourage you, when he's attacking you, when he is really coming on strong, remember what John wrote in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, that is the world. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Remember that. Remember that. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Remember, the enemy is the spirit of this world. But the one who is in us, that is the spirit of Christ Jesus, is greater than he. That's why, as we talked about a week or so ago, that's why the victory is assured for those in Christ Jesus. We don't have to wonder whether we're going to win or not. The victory is already assured in Christ. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Tom has a song that he has chosen for us to use as an invitation. And again, this goes back to what I mentioned earlier. Part of the reason that we offer an invitation is to give us an opportunity to entertain prayer requests that people have for us. And so while we're having this song, we have the phone numbers for Dale or Wes, either one of them. You can text those of you who are worshiping with us online. You can text either Dale or Wes, and their phone numbers will be on the screen through our song, so that if you have a prayer request, just text either one of them. Okay, Wes does not have his phone with him this morning, so Dale's going to get all of the requests, okay? If you have a prayer request, you're with us online this morning, then text Dale and let him know, and we will honor that prayer request for that. Those who are here with us physically this morning, if you have a prayer request that you would like for us to look at, to share with everyone, then all you got to do is come up and let me know. And again, for those, I think that everybody here this morning with us are Christians, but there may be someone who's worshiping with us online this morning who's not yet given your life to Christ. You need to understand and know that outside of Christ, you are lost eternally. The great news is that if you give your life to Christ, he will forgive you of your sins, and he will reconcile you to a relationship with God. And so the way that needs to happen is that you need to acknowledge your sinfulness before God and repent of those sins. And you need to call upon Jesus to be Lord of your life and to give your life to him as a servant. You need to not only repent of those sins, but you need to have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And we have water that's ready. Anytime that you are ready to be baptized into Christ, all you've got to do is contact us and let us know. You can contact Dale or Wes, and he'll have his phone a little bit later, or you can call me, and we will do whatever it takes as soon as possible to baptize you into Christ Jesus. So, again, all you got to do is let us know what your need is. Tom's got this song. What are we singing, Tom?
924.
Number 924. And so those who are here, let's stand together and sing. And, again, if we can serve you in any way, just let us know.